Alright, hi guys. This is the first episode of Teens Talk True Crime. I'm your host, Anna, and today I have a guest with me.
Hi, I'm Emily.
She's
designated best friend.
She's my dear close friend. I've known her since preschool.
Preschool!
Yeah, and today...
Not post.
Today we're just gonna talk, we're just gonna get into it. We already recorded an episode, actually. But unfortunately, half of it has been deleted, and I will not be using GarageBand again, I believe. It's very annoying. I don't like it. I want to like it, but I can't. It messed up the whole thing. So we are going to just get into it right now. So, basically, I think the first thing that we were talking about was just how we got into true crime. Basically, when I was younger, I used to, you know, Dateline was on TV. I used to watch with my dad and my brother. I remember when I was younger, I used to watch Criminal Minds. And when I was younger, I used to watch whatever he watched. And I just found myself watching a lot, and I thought it was so cool. I remember my mom didn't want me to watch it with him, but sometimes I would watch it with him, and I just really liked it. That's where my fascination for true crime began. What about you, Emily?
You put me on. You put me on to true crime. We went on vacation together recently, and we listened to it a lot, and it was... For a few days down there, it was pretty rainy, so it was nice ambiance. Very nice vibes. Very good stories.
Yeah. I remember we were listening to podcasts, because recently I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and we were listening to, everyone knows, My Favorite Murder and, like, Crime Junkie. And, yeah, I just got really into it, and I was just like, what if I did this? Wouldn't that be fun? So here we are, sitting in my backyard.
It's a beautiful day out.
It's a beautiful day in Western Mass today.
We're overlooking some beautiful mountains. Her backyard is very open, and we saw three crows fly above us, which is a good omen.
Yeah, we were worried that it was bad, but it's good. We looked it up.
Good omen.
But, yeah, so if you hear some background noise, it's probably just either cars or crickets or
just
birds.
Enjoy it.
Basically, just enjoy it. If you're watching this, you could watch this to go to bed. It's going to be relaxed. Oh, I just banged on the table.
Never mind.
I say, it's relaxing. Sorry, there was a bug on the table. But, so just ignore that. Sorry. But, yeah, so... I remember I wanted to have Emily on this podcast because she was talking to me about this documentary that she watched that she really liked. Oh, she's been trying to get me to watch it. I still have to
watch
it.
She still has not.
I will.
To be fair, I have not watched the other one.
Yeah, we suggest each other stuff a lot, and maybe 50% of the time we actually...
I'd say a good, like, 35%.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's good. I just... Small brain.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. I forget stuff,
you know,
very quickly. But yeah. You want to share the documentary? Because I feel like a lot of people will be interested in it.
Hopefully some of you guys will be more interested in it than Anna is.
Oh, okay. And so throwing a little bit of shade to start.
No shade, just facts.
All right.
Anyways, this documentary is called Dear Zachary, A Letter to a Son About His Father. And it was made in 2008, but don't let that stop you. 2008 was a great era of film, I think. And it's written, produced, and edited by the main subject's best friend named Kurt Kuyen. Kuyen. Are you willing to edit all this out? Because are you acting?
This is going to stay in. This is
okay. So, anyways, it's, yeah, written, produced, and edited and directed by Kurt Quinn, who is the main subject's best friend, whose name is Andrew Bagby. And Andrew Bagby was murdered after he ended a relationship with a woman named Shirley Jane Turner. And shortly after she was arrested as a suspect, which we later found out she did commit the murder. But she was a subject. Shirley announced that she was pregnant with Andrew's child.
Oh my god.
Which forced his parents to carry out a civil relationship with the woman that murdered their son purely to have time with their grandson. So you can imagine how terrible that is. And
awful.
So difficult. Props to Jesus. Them. They're superheroes. And that's not even the end of it. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, if you want to watch it, don't listen to this unless you like knowing the end of films.
Yeah, but skip like 30 seconds if you don't want to know.
So basically the point of this documentary was to, you know, a letter about, it's called Dear Zachary, a letter to his son about his father. So it was made by his best friend, Andrew Bagby's best friend, who wanted to make a film commemorating Andrew for his son. So his son could know a little bit about him and know all the people in his life. And he goes around interviewing people. And while this was being made was when Shirley announced that she was pregnant with his child, which kind of complicated things. And it's the fact that her name is Shirley is already a red flag.
Shirley.
And Shirley. Shirley a murderer.
Shirley.
Shirley a murderer.
Oh.
She's a murderer. Anyways, so Anna likes murderers, though.
No, I don't say that on my true crime podcast.
She doesn't. That's not true. She just likes JD.
Okay, my favorite movie is Heathers. And they did.
So you can tell where the interest in murder comes from.
No, that's not true. First of all, they didn't have to make him that attractive. That was their part.
He's not attractive. Anyways, moving on. So this, the ending of this film, or not even the ending, the film is being made for Andrew's son, so he knows about his father and knows about the man that he was. And Shirley ends up, one morning going over to the ocean and straps her baby to her chest and jumps in, kills them both,
murders
the child. And herself.
That's absolutely, like, when she told me that, I was just like, Jesus.
It's insane. And the documentary is made so well, like, the way they, like, build up to it. It gets very fast and very exciting, and you can tell something's coming, but you don't know what it is. And then they tell you that happens, and my stomach just dropped when I heard that. It just dropped.
I can't even imagine, like, you're doing, like, this whole documentary for the son of, like, your best friend, right? And then you find out in the middle of it that he was murdered by his own mother.
Murdered.
Absolutely insane. I just, yeah.
Surely.
Oh, no. Surely.
Shirley Turner.
But, yeah, I can't even imagine what the grandparents went through when they heard that.
Yeah, they're still kicking it to this day. They're alive.
Good for them. I feel so awful.
They actually, I'm not exactly sure what organization it is, but I think they actually got involved in some activism about just, like, the justice system. And because she was allowed to go to Canada while being, like, a prime suspect of a murder. She's allowed to escape and go to Canada.
Are you kidding me?
And she was allowed, like, pretty much full custody of the child. She, like, barely allowed the grandparents to see the child. It's just crazy. And says a lot about our justice system. It's very screwed up.
It's, God. Like, literally, the whole thing is just a mess, and, like, that's just, I think I'm gonna go watch it now.
It's great.
It really sounds amazing. There was, like, another documentary that I wanted to bring up while we're talking about recommendations, because I was just on Netflix one night, and I was just looking for, like, some documentaries to, like, listen to before, or not listen to, but watch before I went to sleep, and I went across this one that seemed interesting called God Knows Where I Am. And I didn't think it was, like, a true crime documentary. It's not. It's interesting how it's laid out. Basically, it starts with a person going to go check out this, like, farmhouse that's not being, that no one lives in it. I think the owners were selling it at that point. Mm-hmm. And he goes in to go check it out, And when he looks through one of the windows, he actually sees, like, a body on the floor, just, like, laying there. And so he calls the police, and the police come, and the scene is very confusing. Like, there's just, like, a woman in the middle of the floor. She's just lying there, fully dressed. There's a journal right next to her. And as they go through the journal, they begin to figure out, like, what actually happened. And basically, it's just a very interesting documentary. I don't want to give away too much of it, but I think that it's called God Knows Where I Am. It's on Netflix. The cinematography in it, like, they film where, like, they film the location.
That's
it's
very
just,
important.
Yeah.
Good cinematography.
Yeah. And, like, it's just very calming. It's really good. I would suggest it to anyone who would be interested. I think I'm going to watch it again, because, like, I really liked it. I watched it, like, a while ago, but I just always think of it sometimes, because it was, like, really good. But,
Sometimes.
Because it was just one of those things where, like, you know when you don't expect something to be good, and then it turns out to be, like, really good?
That was that documentary for
Yeah. Exactly.
I actually watched it with my cousins, which made it even more magical, because my cousins have some crazy stories. Insane stories. Unbelievably wild. And we watched it at their house when I was very young. So it brings back a lot of nostalgic feeling of That's being in their old house, and also mixed with the, you know, terrifying story.
How old were you when you watched it,
please? I think way too young. It was lovely.
I feel that, though. Like, I feel like everything that you, like, watch when you were too young, like, imprints you. As you grow up, you just remember it.
It does.
I remember I was talking to... I posted this on my Snapchat, or my private Snapchat. Not my private, but, like, my private story. And I was like, did anyone else in third grade watch that, like, awful medieval war demonstration video? Basically, in third grade, my teacher thought it was a good idea to show a bunch of third graders, like, a demonstration of what medieval war looked like, and it was so graphic. It was like heads were being chopped off, eyeballs were falling out of heads, like, stabbing. Traumatic. And, like, okay, like, you can show that to high schoolers. Like, it's not, like, it's still graphic, but, like, you're old enough at that point. Literally third grade, that's crazy. I just remembered it the other day, and I was just like, what was she thinking? Like, the fact that I remember that one moment to this day sends me, because I literally don't remember, like, I can't remember much of my childhood, but I definitely remember that day in class because of her, because she decided to do that.
Yeah.
I remember I wanted to also, like, talk about some paranormal stuff on this podcast, and I wanted to talk about, remember when we went to Cape Cod?
Oh my god, don't even get me started.
Yeah, we decided it would be a good idea to go night longboarding, because we were like, oh, like, let's go, like, it's a nice night out, it's not too cold. And it was pretty dark out. We used our flashlights. Cape Cod is very safe. Like, it's not super... No, it's fine. Like, you can go out at night.
It's just old white people.
Yeah. It's not dangerous at all. But we were going out, and we were planning on going
old
to the beach.
Old white people are dangerous sometimes.
Sometimes they're the most dangerous.
Sometimes the most dangerous.
But we were going out to the beach, because there's, like, a road that you can longboard down. It's a nice road to longboard on, because it's nice and smooth. And we were gonna go to the beach and just, like, chill out for a bit, maybe talk. And while we were going there, there was, like, a weird, like, rustling noise by one of the houses.
Audibly loud enough for us to notice. It sounded like it was building in volume.
Yeah.
Like, it was some Stranger Things type shit.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
And we were just like, I thought it was the wind at first. I thought it was just a windy night. So when I was going by it, I was like, like, I didn't realize it was that windy out. And when we passed by it, I was like, wait, why can't I hear any more of it? Like, I thought it didn't feel windy. I was just like, wait a second. But, like, we were just longboarding. It was fine. So we just went to the beach. So I just didn't think about it that much again. And when we got to the beach, I was just like, what is what's going on. Like, it was, you know, like, when you go somewhere and, like, you just feel like you're being watched, almost, like, a sense of, like, something's off. And we got to the beach, and I had, like, a very strong gut feeling, like, something was weird. There was, like, I think one of it was, like, there was just, like, a random car. Like, the whole beach was deserted. It was dark out. And there weird was just, vibes. Like, a random car just in, like, in the beach parking lot. And it was, like, it was weird. I don't know. And then I told Emily, I was, like, do you get that sense that, like, I don't know, something's a little bit weird? And then she was, like, well, now that you say that, like, yeah. Yep. And then I was, like, maybe we should leave. Because I wanted to hang out at the beach, but, like, when you have that gut feeling, sometimes it's better just to, like, head out. Like, it's good to trust your gut, because a lot of the times that will get you out of some tough situations.
Yeah.
But it probably was nothing, honestly. But when we were going back to the house, we passed by that house again, and it was very loud. The rustling was incredibly loud. It was just, like, very, like, you could even see the bushes moving by the house, and, like, it was very strange.
It was not normal. I even, like, tried to rationalize it in my head, being like, oh, it's probably, like, an outdoor generator or an AC in a window or something, but this sounded like it was, I don't even know whether I can say it, whether it sounded like an animal or it sounded like something electronic. Like, I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't tell you. It just sounded not natural, and it sounded like it was building in sound, and it sounded like
it was coming, like, towards growling. Us almost. Yeah.
Sounded like it was coming towards us, and immediately we ran.
Immediately, because first of all, this was not like a little, like, raccoon in the bushes type thing. The bushes were shaking, and we were like, what? It's dark out. Like, why is this happening only at this specific, like, woodsy area? Yeah, so basically we were just like, what? And we bolted it. Like, we weren't about to stick around to figure out what it was.
Anna had a good idea, though, which is very useful advice, which is immediately talking. Well, at first it was kind of frantic. Yeah. It was kind of frantic, lady. But
we literally bolted, and then finally when we were, like, catching our breath, we were, like, starting to talk.
And we started
like,
talking, and Anna started saying, oh, it's good, your mom is waiting up for us. So if there was anyone, a person behind us, they would know that there wasn't anyone waiting up for us. We snuck out, but there was, you know.
Don't say that. No, like, it wasn't like we weren't allowed to go out. It was just, like, we didn't wake up anyone before we left.
Yeah. We were allowed to be out. We just didn't alert anyone that we were.
Yeah.
So, it was just, you know, we were on our way back, and Anna starts just saying, like, very loudly, like, oh, it's great that someone's waiting up for us because it's, you know, it's kind of late, and I, you know, like, it's just, so your mom is waiting outside, you texted her, and I was like, yep, immediately knew what was going on. I was like, yeah, she's right outside, she's waiting, and
that's, like, a good hack. Like, if you're going, like, if you think someone's following you, or if you're in a situation where you think you might be in danger, just pull out that phone and be, like, pretend to talk in it, and be like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm here at blah, 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 exact address, or as close to the exact address as you can. And then be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be there very soon. You're waiting for me, right? And just, like, make sure, like, you talk kind of loudly. And in that situation, that shows whoever, if you're in that situation, of course, like, that person will be like, oh, that person is not just walking by herself. That person is going somewhere. Yeah. Someone will notice her if she goes missing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And on that, also very important to tell people when you are going out, if you are going out. If there's someone available, always tell someone. Even someone.
Don't go out alone if you can, also. Always have a buddy.
But I do not stand by that because I do that not. Very often. But that's also me pretty much asking for, you know, trouble.
But I trust her. She has a good gut sense of stuff, I feel like. You know how to get yourself out of bad situations.
I've seen a lot of crazy things at night.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it happens. I hope she's safe. I will always hope that she's safe in whatever she does. But at the same time, that kind of sucks. Like, being a girl, especially a young girl, like, that sucks that we have to, like, look out for ourselves and, like, be careful of, like, where we can go at night in certain places. Like, it's kind of messed up, honestly. I'm sick of it.
It is.
I remember my friend posted this TikTok about, like, oh, like, girls answer, honestly, what would you do if you could go out at night and there was, like, men had a curfew of, like, 10 p.m., no men could be out, what would you guys do at night? And girls were literally commenting, like, oh, I would just wear whatever I wanted, I would just go on night walks and listen to music with both headphones in, not just one, I would go anywhere I want, I would go out with my friends, and, like, it just kind of shows that there's kind of a bit of a problem
in just the terms, a bit.
Just a tiny bit.
Just a little bit.
I think it's more of a thing where, like, I don't think guys, if, like, guys who aren't the problem, they don't realize, like, that it is a problem for other girls. Like,
the thing that sucks is it's never going to be fixed. There's no way.
There's
always going to be psychopaths.
Yeah.
There's a possibility of it getting better, but it's never going to be resolved.
You could be in the safest place on earth, and then just one time someone just snaps, and then...
That's why I recommend jujitsu or karate lessons.
I recommend a knife and pepper spray.
Absolutely. Little cute pink gun. Little baby. Key.
Guns are scary, though, but, like, a little, like, I don't condone gun use, like, out, like, if you just walk around carrying a gun, but, like, in your own home, I understand why people have them.
I
don't blame them.
I like having a little, my friend, actually, I was hanging out with him, and it was a very late night, I was out till about 3 a.m., and he goes inside, he says, wait here, and he comes out, and he hands me this little, like, shiv. Like, it's like, he just hands me this little, like, knife, and he's just like, I just want you to keep this on you. There are lots of crazy people out there, and it's crazy because, like, in that moment, I was like, oh my goodness, like, it's a crazy world. Like, that's nuts that I need to, like, have something to protect myself like that, like, from crazy people.
Yeah, it's, like, always better safe than sorry. And, like, we don't even live in, like, a dangerous place. Like, we live in Western Mass in, like, a nice town. And, like, we still, like, you always have to be on guard. Like, honestly.
Just... couple months ago, that girl got kidnapped in Springfield.
Yeah, there's, like, there was an Amber Alert out for her, actually. Luckily, I think she got saved. I don't know how to put it.
Rescued.
Rescued, sorry. She got rescued, saved. Thank God.
Jesus.
But, yeah, it's not uncommon. Like, we have a mall by our house. Or not by our house, sorry, by our town. It's a pretty big mall, and people are, like, be careful, because, like, there's traffickers there. Like, there's still people, even though, no matter how safe you feel, like, there's always going to be people who are, like, insane.
So, bottom line lesson, treat everyone as if they are insane.
No, people I kind of remember, like, when I was younger, like, my dad telling me, like, do not, like, just trust anyone. Like,
we just be trusting random people on the internet with our feelings these days.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, anything, even on the internet, like, whatever you put out onto the internet, it's on there forever. Like, people can find you, they can stalk you on the internet in person.
Except
people
for are Snapchat, crazy. That's 24 hours.
Even on Snap, though, yeah. Like, people are crazy, like...
people are nuts.
It's just, you gotta be extra careful, especially if you're a young person on the internet.
Don't accept people you don't know on your social media. It's not worth the followers.
It's not worth the followers, especially, I know some girls I know get, like, those sugar daddy
I
people,
just got
those
one.
Fake ones.
Two weeks ago.
Me too. And just delete them. If they're not real, they're just creepy.
They're not real,
old
they're
men,
scammers.
Or they're scammers.
Or they're creepy old men, yep.
And they should not be messaging a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, like, that's legal. It's not okay. But, yeah, and just be super careful, because, like, people don't always have your best interests in mind. I learned that lesson many times in my life. You just gotta look out for yourself, and if you think something is wrong, just trust your gut.
Girl, if you're a freshman in high school... and a senior is flirting with you, run.
Run.
That's all I gotta say. Run.
It's
they
not
don't think
you.
You're special. They don't. I'm sorry. They don't think you're special.
Shame on the senior, though, because that's
shame on
that's
them. That's their fault. You're stunning, baby. Just don't listen to them.
Yeah, you just need to find a guy your own age, and he will treat you better than that dirty senior.
Period.
Who's, like, 4 years older than you.
Period. Disgusting.
Yeah, I just, it's scary. I don't know. I feel like it's gotten better, though, with, like, people are, like, if they see.
In our town.
Yeah, if people see, like, that kind of stuff going on, they're kind of like, just, dude, like, why? That's kind
of. We're a town
a
full
bit
of.
Weird.
We're a pretty progressive town. We live in a town where.
Let me drop my address real quick.
No,
come visit me.
People are just very vocal about discomfort.
What they believe in, yeah.
And what they believe in. And I think it's great because they're just standing up against, you know, like, predatory older men.
Yeah,
it's
they
great.
Just don't stand for stuff. And, like, I don't know, growing up in that environment has been an advantage because you learn to accept people for who they are and try not to judge, even though that's just a human thing to do. But I don't know, I think I consider myself very lucky compared to, like, some other towns nearby who are a little bit less so, and they don't have the same inclusivity stuff going on. Like, yeah, but I don't know.
Period.
I feel like that's going to mark the end of today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. I think next episode I'm going to talk about some more stuff.
Thank you for having me.
True crime. Yeah. I'm glad to have Emily on. She's a great person to talk to. Very interesting. No, I actually hate her. Bye. No. But yeah, so I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Kisses!
No!
Peace out.
All right, bye guys.
I'm just dicking.